Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Fort Knox Service, a ministry of Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And we are very pleased to have you join with us tonight or later on as this message comes to you or as you avail yourself of it. We trust that the Lord will bless you and that you'll receive encouragement as a result. If it sounds like bacon frying very nicely in the background, I wish it was. Actually, it's the pitter-patter of rainfall on the metal roof of the building that we are blessed with. And we found out that spray foam insulation seems to do very little to decrease the sound of rainfall on the metal roof. So right now it's very light, and we trust that it will stay that way. But if not, I'll just speak louder, and you listen harder. That's the deal we're going to make with one another tonight. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John, the 6th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And by the way, we are very thankful for the rain as it's falling. It could hold off. I'm okay with it holding off for a little while, Lord, while we accomplish this. But we're very thankful for the rain as it was has been very hot and very dry here in Texas, in this part of Texas, for a while now. So we're thankful. And we can live through a little inconvenience of a little noise. John chapter 6, beginning verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remained over above them that they had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This of a truth, that a prophet should come into the world. This is of a truth, that a prophet should come into the world." We see as we look at this passage of Scripture, first of all, that a need was identified. You know, before any need can be met, you need to know that you have a need. And in this case, a need was identified. That's step number one. Number two, there quickly came a realization that there was not enough available resources to meet that need. What are these, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, among so many? Lord, we have something here, but that's not near enough. I don't have enough to meet the need. I don't have near enough. My best efforts fall woefully short. They said 200 pennyworth when Jesus said, go and buy bread. They said 200 pennyworth. That's from what I was able to ascertain was about 6 months' wages. 200 pennyworth wouldn't even buy an appetizer for this group, much less feed them, as Jesus suggested should happen. But what are these among so many? That's the title of my message to you tonight. What are these among so many? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you think, what have I got that is big enough and good enough that can meet the needs in my life? I'm not enough. It's not enough. Whatever I have, whatever I throw towards it, is not enough. You know, in the area of finances, many of us have been in the place where we got too much month left at the end of the money. Sometimes it's of our own making, and sometimes life just happens. But we've all been there, or most of us have. And when disaster and failure appear imminent, that fear of dread that we're not going to make it, I don't have enough. I can't pay this bill. I can't pay those bills. I can't put the food that my family deserves on the table. I can't make ends meet. You know, I've mentioned before as I've preached about some of my misunderstandings as a child. I went to church with a young boy my age that when they were singing Bringing in the Sheaves, he thought they were singing Bringing in the Cheese. I think that's just part of what children do. They get things wrong. And in my childish brain, when I heard people talking about they're not able to make ends meet, I thought it was some kind of meat dish, like a meatloaf. And I thought, why are people having such a hard time making this meat dish? It was, I think I was 35 years old. No, I wasn't that old. But it was a lot long later in life before I realized what that phrase means. And that is, for some of you who were like me and still maybe like that, you're having trouble to make the two ends of the situation meet, to complete the circle, like putting a belt together. I have a need. What does a need, the need require? It needs something to fix the need. The two ends then meet. Sometimes that require, that means perhaps a nice meatloaf. But I was thinking about that as I was preparing about a business trip that I went on one time when I found, to my horror, that the ends of my pants were not meeting together. I don't know what happened. I wore jeans on a plane, and I flew to this business meeting, and it wasn't going to be but a 2 or 3 day trip. And my wife packed my clothes for me, as she always did. I woke up the next morning just in time to get ready to go to the place where I was supposed to be, having worn my jeans the day before and not wanting to dress casually for this business meeting, I put on this nice dress shirt and these nice dress pants, or for my English friends, trousers. And to my dismay and absolute horror, I don't know what, it's like Susan gave me one of my grandson's pants or something. I don't know what it was, but the ends of the pants did not come together. I couldn't get them buttoned. I couldn't even come close to getting them buttoned. It was scary. And so what I did, I took my belt and I put it around it, and I tried my hardest to cover the gap in the top of my pants with the belt. And then I thought, that still does not look right. So I kind of untucked my shirt in the front and let it kind of hang over where my belt and my open pants were. And I felt uncomfortable all day long, all week long, I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened. I thought to myself, how did I gain that much weight from the time I left home to the time I got to Mexico? How did that happen? To this day, I don't know what happened. But the ends did not meet. I could not make ends meet. And it was like I ate too much ends meat. But how many of you have been there in your finances? You just don't have enough. You know, it's not only in our finances when we find that we have something, but it's just not enough. Sometimes it's in our ability to accomplish life's task. To do what I need to do and to be what I need to be a successful me in this world, I just can't find the resources I need to get that done. Sometimes I have great confidence in myself, or you may have great confidence in yourself, but sometimes it just seems like there's too much of that and not enough of me. I could get it done if there was less of that or more of me, but there's not. There's loads of that and what seems not enough of me to go around. The situation has perhaps gone out of control. Perhaps things have spiraled and become greater than what I had anticipated. Perhaps greater than what you've anticipated. Perhaps your washer has broken, your dryer has broken, perhaps the kids are sick, perhaps any number of things have happened. Perhaps you've had day after day after day of wearing you out and you have to homeschool today and the kids are sitting at the table waiting for you and you just feel like, I can't get it done. There's not enough of me to go around.
Come on, man.
You know, I think many of us face this, whether it be in our job, whether it be in our marriage, whether it be in what's required of us with our children or whatever it is, we find there's not enough of me to go around. What is what I have to give amongst so much that requires me? Or perhaps you're like some who say, I'm not enough simply because I have never been enough. I've never been enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not liked enough. I'm not well connected. I'm not the right color, or I'm not the right shade of the color. I'm not the right shape. I was not born into the right family. I'm just not enough, and I never have been and probably never will be. You fill in the blank of what that could possibly mean. Or being in a situation where we don't have enough, it could be in a situation where we do not feel that we have the ability to meet an intense spiritual need. This is not just getting through life. This is not just coping with the things that we need to cope with, the things that we're responsible for. This is something over and above. This is something that we have come in contact with, that we face, that just seems entirely and deeply wrong and evil, and we don't feel up to the task. It's beyond where we feel like we are in our current level of experience, spiritual experience, or in the faith that we've been able to develop. We've gone past that. It's something that we've never faced before or to this level before. You know, the scripture tells us about a situation where a father that had a demon-possessed boy was in that situation. He couldn't handle it. He didn't know what to do, so he went to Jesus' disciples. And they tried their best, and they couldn't get the job done. And then finally the man came to Jesus and said, can you do something with my boy? He's demon-possessed, sometimes even throws himself in the fire. And Jesus rebuked his disciples and dealt with the situation But all of them found that they were not enough for this intense spiritual demand, and they had not enough power to deal with it. I don't know if, brothers and sisters, you've been walking with the Lord long enough that you have experienced that, but I have. Where I'm in a situation that all of a sudden, bam, there's a manifestation of evil, and all it just like sucks the life out of me. And Lord, I need your help. I desperately need your help. I am not prepared for what I am now facing. Regardless of whether it is the needs of life, the demands of life upon us, whether it's some intense spiritual need, or whether it's our finances, or whether it's trouble in a relationship, when we find ourselves in a place where we don't have enough, or we find that we are not enough, it can become a wonderful place for God to insert a miracle into our story. That's what we have to realize. The story doesn't have to end here with our lack. It can be a wonderful place for God to insert a miracle into our story. You know, in addition to there being a need identified and the recognition that there was not enough human resources available to meet the need that they were lacking, but Jesus let his disciples know what he wanted. We are here, each one of us are here. We are in this life. We are where God has put us. We are amongst the people he's put us with. We are touching situations. We are rubbing shoulders right where God wants us to be many times. And we are here for a bigger purpose than just to get by. Just to be successful today. We are here for a bigger purpose. The need that they had on that day was based upon the will and the plan of the Lord. He had a plan. He had a will. His will was that their need, the need of that multitude, the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, their need of something to sustain them, their need of food. It was part of God's plan. And he wanted his disciples to be a part of meeting and accomplishing his will and purposes. You know, Luke chapter 9 tells us this story that that we're reading here is mentioned in all four Gospels. In Luke's account, we see the disciples saying, "Send them away," because we don't have that. We don't have that much money. We can't even, there's no way that we could go and buy enough for them. You know, that's one way that people deal with issues, is to just push it to the side. Ignore it. Ignore the issue. Problem solved. I'm on my merry way. You know, problems don't get solved by ignoring them. Problems don't get fixed. They just show up again later and they show up bigger, they show up meaner, they show up hungrier, and they show up more powerful. We can never be successful in life by just ignoring the things that we face. But Jesus had a plan. He wanted something done. He wanted the need to be met. And even though the disciples did not recognize it, Jesus did have a plan. He knew what he would do. The scripture says when he asked them about meeting the need and they said, "Lord, we can't do it." He said he told them that because he knew what he would do. He was testing them. He said that to prove them. He already knew what he was going to do. You know, nothing in our lives ever catches God by surprise. He knows how he's going to meet the need. If we give him the opportunity that he wants, if we work with him in this, he knows what he wants to do. He has a plan to meet our needs. And many times, our lack and our sense of dread and foreboding is a test, and we need to pass that test by saying, you know what? I need to shake myself out of this because I know that the Lord is going to see me through. Even though my resources aren't enough, and what do I have that is even comes close to the magnitude of the need? God has a plan. Next, we see that Jesus told them to organize the crowd. In effect, he was telling them to prepare for a blessing, to prepare for a miracle. Sometimes we miss miracles in life because we fail to prepare for those miracles. We fail to prepare ourselves for the blessing. Back in Luke's gospel again, we see chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. The Lord told them, get them organized. Make this group something that we can work through and walk through and we can bless. Oftentimes, God wants to do that in our lives. That the only thing holding back His provision for our lives is that we haven't prepared ourselves to receive it. He wanted them to be orderly. He wanted them to be peaceful, not in fear, not anxious. He wanted them to be expectant. When they were told to sit down in groups of 50, they obeyed. I'm sure it doesn't say, but I'm sure the disciples were saying, Jesus has got something planned here. There was a sense of expectation as they sat orderly and peacefully waiting for the miracle, whatever it was going to be, to take place. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we need to give God something to bless. Sometimes in the area of finances, it's the work of our hands. We just need to be diligent with doing what He's given us to do. We need to be diligent to give our employers or our customers that which they deserve. And that is a fair day's work for a fair day's wage. Well, brother, I'm not getting a fair day's wage. Well, give them a fair day's work anyway. God can bless that. You do your part and see what God does. Sometimes we just need to have a right attitude. We need to give God a right attitude to work with. We need to get rid of the victim mentality, the mentality of everybody is always keeping me down. I can't get to where I need to be and I want to be because it's the other people. Playing the blame game. You know, the scripture tells us about a man who sat at the pool of Bethesda. He had an infirmity, we're told, for 38 years. And once a year, an angel would come down and trouble the waters. And whoever got into that water that the angel troubled first would be healed of their infirmity. And as Jesus walked by and he saw the man sitting there, he said to him, aren't you going to get in? Aren't you going to allow this miracle to take place in your life? And the Lord said, Lord, but the man said to Jesus, I've got nobody to help me. He said, and when something happens, everybody gets there before me. It's everybody else's fault. They're bigger than me. They're faster than me. I don't have anybody. I don't have enough help. Sometimes we blame everybody else for our lack. We need to get past that. We need to get past the place where we think that my lot in life is because of somebody else. I may have been put here by somebody, but I don't have to stay here. Amen? I've had a lot of times in business where people, for whatever reason, have tried to put me down and keep me under, but the cream keeps rising to the top. And I'm not saying I'm cream because of anything inherent within me, but the greater one lives within me. And he has assured me that he will get me to a better place. And I trust in that. We have to have a right attitude. We have to be thankful for what we already have and stop living in this constant complaining that I don't have enough. None of us have enough according to our own mind. But what good does complaining about what we don't have when we could be blessing God for what we do have? Thankful for what we already have. Then willing to change is another right attitude. Willing to change, to allow change to come to our life, to our situation. Sometimes we need to hold on to things that we're not holding on to. Sometimes we need to let go of things that we need to let go of. That's things, that's people, that's attitudes. We need to be willing to change in order to get to a better place. Sometimes God's blessing doesn't come because we don't allow ourselves to be rightly ordered. And we need, as I said earlier, that we need to have the attitude, the right attitude, that I'm not going to be here forever. The Lord will see me through. My testimony is not that I've gone down twice and I'm about to go down for the third time. Goodbye, everybody. I'm a goner. My testimony is I may have gone down twice, but that just means my rescue is just about to happen. We need to understand that our confession should be and must be, if we truly believe it, the Lord will provide. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 6. I'm not saying to you things that just sound good, things that are humanistic. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Psalm chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. Now know that the Lord saveth His anointed. What does He do for His anointed? He saves His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven. Is God going to ignore you? No, He will hear you with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The government is not going to get me out of this mess. My hope is not in the government. My hope is not in some relief bill. My hope is not in some stimulus package. My hope is in Jesus. He may use all of that. He may use none of it. That's His business. My hope is not in that. It's in Jesus. Getting things in order may mean that we need to take better care of what we already have. Preparing ourselves for a miracle, preparing ourselves for blessing, may mean that we need to take a closer look when it comes to our finances. What has He already given us? And are we being good stewards of that? Some people need to get a firm grip on where they are with their finances. It doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you more, but why pour good money after bad? If you're just going to throw it away, if you're just going to waste it, if you're going to make the same stupid mistakes, do you think God is going to bless that? We need to get a firm grip on where we are. It would behoove you to take a look at your finances and take a look at what's coming in versus what's going out. And guess what? Sometimes and oftentimes you need to make serious, hard choices. Food or internet? I'll take internet, please. Dumb choice. Gas money to get to work? Or new clothes? To be seen, to be looked at. Brothers and sisters, we need to get a grip on our finances and look, am I giving God something to bless? Am I being responsible with what He's already given me? Pardon me. Am I the reason for my troubles? What needs to be fixed here? Could it possibly be me? What about our things? There's no point in believing God for a new car when you're not taking care of the one you got. Now don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching good. I'm going to tell you a little story about a guy who, he and his wife were destitute. I do remember how we came across them. I needed some help on our place, and everybody that I knew was busy. So I went down to a place like Manpower, where they have temporary labor. And I said, Ken, do you have somebody who's willing to work on a temporary basis and help me out? Yeah, sure, we'll send somebody there. A guy came, desperate need of work. His wife came first day, sat in the hot car while he worked. And Susan and I were looking at this, and we're thankful for the work that he did. We paid him. We paid the company. They paid him. But we said, we got more work for you. Want to come back tomorrow? He said, yes. This may have gone on for a day or two. And then Susan went out and said to the lady, she said, I've got some things that you could do. Would you want to work? Oh, I would be happy to work. These people look like everything was coming into focus for them, and they were getting blessed. And then they were driving this car, and we found out that they didn't have a place to live. We were going to help them find a place to live. We were going to help them find. In fact, we went and looked for a place that they could live in, and we were going to put down the deposit for them and help them get into a place. They were living in some other kind of accommodation. We were doing everything we can to help them because we thought all they needed was a hand up. Not a hand out, a hand up. And so we were doing what we could to help. And then we found out this was a hole that you think, how in the world could this need ever be met, that keeps growing and growing and growing? But we were committed to seeing what we could do to make it happen. Then we found out that the car that they were driving, they were just barely able to keep gas in it. It wasn't inspected. He lost his license because of some stuff that he was doing, and he had no insurance. So, dear Lord, how are we going to get this couple from where they are to where they need to be? I don't know, Lord, but we're going to try. We started witnessing to them and talking to them, giving them food, and on and on, and it went. And one day, he comes to work without her, and his back window of his car is busted out. He's got a sheet of plastic over it. And she was with him because Susan found out the truth about what happened. I said to him, what happened to your car? He said, oh, we got into an accident. I said, oh, my goodness. Everything is happening to you, and that on top of that. While he was telling me that lie, she was telling Susan the truth. They were taking drugs. He got into a jealous rage. He took a baseball bat and went out and tore up his car. Who was the source of the problem? Who was keeping them down? What group of people could they possibly blame? Only themselves. You know, to get That would have happened if he would have had a brand new Cadillac. It wouldn't have stopped him from busting out the back window. He did it out of anger because of lack of self-control. He did it in a rage fueled by drugs. That would have happened to anything he was given. Was God going to give him a new car? I doubt it. We need to understand that to prepare, to sit down in groups of 50 means to prepare for the miracle. We have to be prepared for God to bless us. It'd be just like that day that everybody was hungry and the Lord was just about to do a miracle, and some guy there had a wagon load of food that he was setting light to. I don't know if he would have been a part of the blessing to everybody else. I don't know if he would have been there enjoying the miracle. Relationships. Getting relationships right. Getting a miracle in husband and wife relationships. Getting things better. Again, we need to put ourselves in a place where we are in a organized to be blessed. Are things in right order in your home? You want God to save your wife? Are you being the husband that you ought to be? You want God to save your husband? Are you being the correct wife that you ought to be? Are things in right order? As a saved wife with an unsaved husband, are you as submissive as possibly can be to that man? If you're a man with an unsaved wife, are you loving and giving and trying to lead as best you can? You want a miracle in that relationship? Are you already doing what you can do to order yourself? How about right actions? Does your mouth continue to spew emotion long after wisdom and reason have been dropped from the conversation? When is the last time you tried in all humility to make it work, even to your own hurt? 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you hear that? That your prayers be not hindered. That God is hindered and working in your life because you're not being and giving Him a situation, an orderly place to work. That's not me speaking. I'm just telling you what the Word of God has to say. I know I'm making it plain. That's part of what God's called me to do. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare themselves for battle? I never want to give an uncertain sound. I want to go forth with clarion, clarity, and with no room, no wiggle room. We need to understand it, because this is how we get free. This is how we enter into the Lord's blessing. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. How do we inherit a blessing? By arranging ourselves so that we might be a blessing. I'm not too far from closing. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. This is the Lord speaking through the psalmist. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whosoever orders his life, gets on the right path, stays on the right path, and does the right thing, that person, the Lord says, I will show my salvation. I know that you're not enough on your own. I know that you can't do it. I know that you can't make it. But I'm willing, ready, and able to come in and work a miracle in your life. But I'm not going to drop a miracle on something that's going to go right down the toilet. He's going to provide a miracle for those who are crying out to God and say, Lord, I trust in you and you alone. Next, Jesus multiplied the food. After they were organized, after they were orderly, after they were in some sort of state of order and expectation, he multiplied the food. He performed a miracle which was previously unforeseen as a possibility in their minds. Although, remember, he knew exactly what he would do. Jesus took it, that which was given to him. He broke it. He made it look like he wanted it to. He reshaped it. And he blessed it. Then it multiplied. Then the miracle happened. Are we willing to let go of our life and give him the little bit that we have and allow him to reshape it, remold it, reformat it, do whatever he wants to with it in order that it might increase? And after he did what he wanted to, abundant provision was given. There was leftovers. There was more than enough. He is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the God that is more than enough. Luke 9 says they were all filled. And then he says, take up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost or wasted. That goes back to my point about pouring blessing out on people. God doesn't want to waste anything. He has a purpose and a plan for everything he does, and he doesn't want any of it to be wasted. God was honored then because of his miraculous provision. You know, as much as it is important for us to get out of our situation of lack and getting fixed what is broken, those are good things. Those are wonderful things. Those are things we pray for and we ought to pray for and we ought to expect. But even greater than me getting my miracle is God getting glory from my miracle. Having a heart to see him glorified and honored is even better than anything else. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to take your lack, your need, your I can't make it, I can't get there from here, and turn it into something that glorifies him. He wants you to be blessed. He wants me to be blessed. He wants it not to be wasted. He wants to be used for his glory. And he wants others to see and come to him and turn to him because of his goodness. You know, his goodness upon us can be the very thing that causes someone else to turn. I'm tired of the God I serve. I'm tired of the devil, they might be able to say, who does nothing but use me, abuse me, chew me up and spit me out and throw me and toss me to the curb. when I could serve a God like you serve, one who takes care of you, one who blesses you, one who encourages you to order your life, one who encourages you to keep the good that comes to you. The Lord wants to be more than enough to us. I want to close by reading this song. I've used it before in a message concerning grace. I think it's really a powerful song. But it's more than just God's grace. It shows His heart. And it shows His willingness. It shows not only what He can do, but what He wants to do for each and every one of us. And it shows that if we will not concentrate on our lack, but on His abundance, what can happen? This song is called "He Giveth More Grace." I looked it up on the to pull the lyrics once before, and somebody told me the wrong information. I said it was Don Moen that wrote it. It was not. It was a lady by the name of Annie Johnson Flint. She's passed away, but I apologize to her memory. And anybody that's a part of her family that I gave credit to the wrong person before. But let me read you the words to this song. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. The chorus goes, His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth, and He giveth again. Second verse, fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load shall upbear. Verse 3, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when we're not enough, in other words, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, when we're down to 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that's not near enough, our Father's full giving is only begun. I want to encourage you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the God who loves you. This is the God who's done everything, including the Father sending His Son to die on a cross, bearing your sin, your shame, your guilt, for you to be bought and become His. If you don't know Him today, I plead with you, turn to Him. Let go of whatever you're holding on to and grab a hold of His eternal life by repenting and asking the Lord to forgive you of your sin, to take you a different path, and follow Him from today forward. If you do know Him today and you're struggling in life, as many of us do, as all of us do, from time to time. But if you're struggling particularly today, He is more than enough. When you've come to the end of your limited resources, He has everything that you have need of. Perhaps you need to make organizational changes in your life. Consider that. But know this, anything that he wants you to take up is for your good. Anything he wants you to let go of is for your good. Anywhere he wants you to go for your is for your good. Anywhere he wants you to stay away from is for your good. He is for your good. God wants to bless you this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Let us come before the Lord. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you take your word and drive it home to every heart, every mind, every person under the sound of my voice, whether it's tonight, whether it's later tonight, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's next week, whether it's a year from now. Lord God, reach them, I pray, for your glory. Lord, change them, I pray. Change me, I pray, to be more like you, more dependent upon you, more in faith for what you want to do, more willing to change in order to be a receptive partner in this. Have your will, have your way, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.